Good afternoon. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a league of nations among other internet radio talk stations, voices of the people, united we roar. Today is May 19th, 2008, and now, from 4:30 to 5, let me present to you Kids, Tweens, and Teens with Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein. Good afternoon, Barbara.
Good afternoon, Lillian, and thank you so much for welcoming back me and all my work, Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein, the enchantress, sometimes I've been called, but really the originator of the enchanted self, a way of looking at ourselves and recognizing what gives us pleasure and happiness so that we can return to positive states of being again and again. It's hard work, but it really isn't any harder than feeling miserable, and the consequences are a lot more pleasant. Those of you following this show know that it has merged from Happiness for Women Only back to Kids, Tweens, and Teens. A positive psychologist looks at all three because I think it's so important to start at the beginning, particularly for girls, around the generational issues that happen at each stage of life that either encourage or try to prevent the emerging of an enchanted self. And we need to halt the destructive atmosphere as best we can, whether it's from parents or society or just ignorance, and encourage the facets of development that help a girl feel whole, feel proud, feel in touch with her talents and in love with what they are and who she is, and courageous to grow up. Now, today I have with me a guest who is going to help me and help you really understand a lot of the teen issues. And I am going to read a little bit from my book and then bring our guest, Elizabeth Diane, on. Now, Elizabeth, I'm keeping you just a little bit in the wings. I'm just going to mention one or two things and then come back and mention more.
Okay, great.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Diane is the author or the co-author of Just hold on a minute. We had an interference, not from outer space, but actually from this very office. That's life. Okay.
Okay. So, that's good. It wasn't from outer space. Okay.
Right. So Elizabeth Diane is going to talk about her new book, Listening with Heart 360, for girls and particularly for teens. I think that the person doing that will catch on, and we will be left alone. I want to read to you a couple of quick excerpts from my book, The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, so that we can get a little... excuse me one second.
Sure.
This is live radio. This is what happens.
Yes.
Sorry about that. I'm on the radio. Okay. So I want to read you these excerpts so you get a sense of some of the issues that girls are struggling with around anywhere. It could be from 10 to 13-ish, and then we can bring them in line and harness their energies to talk with Elizabeth Diane about... excuse me. Elizabeth, you say something for a minute. I will be right back.
Okay.
Okay?
I will. Thank you, Dr. Holstein. Well, to all the listeners out there, my name is Elizabeth Diane, and I'm co-founder of the organization Listening with Heart 360. And the book that I've written along with Andrew Marshall is entitled Listening with Heart 360, The New Paradigm for Women. And what we're here to do is we're here to introduce all young girls and women to a concept called programming. And programming, young ladies, is anything and everything that is taking you away from yourself. And so when Dr. Holstein comes back, I am sure after she reads some of the diary entries from her book, I believe that we will be able to touch on these problem areas, and I can try to explain them to you in terms of the programming which we cover in the book.
I am back. And for those of us out in the wide world wondering what in the world is going on in Dr. Holstein's office, that seems to be a MasterCard machine trying to get through a payment. So I think that we're certainly still not at the perfect level of audio communication. Okay.
It's okay.
So I'm going to go ahead. And now this little girl's about 11 and a half when I'm reading you a few lines from a couple of episodes. But the age can really, as I said, vary kid to kid. So let me see if I can find this. Hold on one more second. Okay. I don't know if I want to be a teenager because they're so obsessed about makeup and clothing and giggling and flirting with boys. I've been in love, but my love is very real, very grown up. I don't do all that crazy laughing and hysterical stuff. I didn't even chase Paul. If I could just marry him now in a couple of years, say when I'm 14, like my great-great-grandmother did, we would just have babies and have a family and not fight. We would just love each other. I don't want to go through all that stuff I read about in the True Confessions magazine that my cousin Ruth had under her mattress. It had awful stories about fighting and babies that come even though the girl wasn't married. When I told my mother about it, she just said not to read that trash ever again. I won't, but I needed more help than she gave me. I don't think she understands how frightened I am. I don't want to leave behind everything I know and just become some hysterical teenager. I don't understand why teenage girls aren't more like Nancy Drew. She's a teenager, but she doesn't go around laughing hysterically and getting silly and wasting time. She's busy solving mysteries and helping people. She's curious, and she follows up on clues, and she takes things very seriously, but she has fun. She has a boyfriend, and she wears pretty clothes. The truth is I need help, and the truth is I'm afraid to ask, so my parents really don't even know I have these worries. So those are a couple of excerpts as this girl begins to really, really sense that what lies ahead is pretty complicated.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Elizabeth, jump in and pick up whether you want to discuss the concept of the storm,
certainly,
puberty, wherever you want to go.
Okay, great. Thanks, Dr. Holstein.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first thing that I would say to this young lady is that she's extremely perceptive, because what is happening, it's true. What she's watching is she's seeing all these older girls who are teenagers. They're hitting the storm. And in our book, in Chapter 4, we introduce mothers and teenage girls to the storm called puberty. And what this young lady is experiencing, or she's not experiencing, but she's seeing the girls who are going before her, she's seeing this mass confusion. And she's like, well, why are they acting like that? And what we would explain to her is we would say, listen, you're entering the storm. And what happens in the storm, young lady, is the hormones start to kick in. And so all this giggling and crazy behavior that the 10-year-old would think, oh, that's crazy, I'm never going to behave that way. Unfortunately, a lot of times when she does hit the storm, this is what happens. But I think what we need to do better as American women is we need to start teaching our young girls and to prepare them for this time. Because like that young lady was saying, oh, I just want to skip it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And trust me, I wish we could too, because unfortunately, the teen years and the young and in the early 20s, it trips a lot of young girls up. But what we need to do, Dr. Holstein, is we need to teach them and prepare them for this time. It needs to be discussed. And just like this young lady ran into, the answer her mom had was, don't read that stuff. But she is interested and she's curious. So what mothers need to tune into is, if the daughter is at a place where she's asking that question, she is ready for an answer.
So going back to the True Confessions, this story takes place a few years ago, so I'm not sure what the name of the current magazine is that
okay.
kind of introduces you to some of these secret places of growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But what might the mother have answered that would be a little more on target?
Well, the key is, and what we hope our book is going to get out to mothers, is that this talk has to take place when they're 8, 9, or 10. Because, and who knows, because every girl reaches puberty at a different time, correct? So you
right.
never quite know when it's going to take place and when your daughter is going to start having these concerns or questions. So what we would suggest is that the mother sit down and prepare her daughter. And, of course, I find that the education system, it does a great job in preparing the girls for what is happening to them physically. Like your breasts are going to develop, you're going to, you know, all the physical changes that we know about. But unfortunately, what seems to be missing, and I'm sure that you can speak to this as a psychologist, is we're not explaining to these young ladies the confusion and the anxiety and the chaos that enters into their thinking. Because the storm, it is the time that it takes a young girl's thinking to catch up to her fully developed woman's body. And you can see this disconnect all the time. When I'm in speaking at high schools, and I was a full-time teacher for 15 years, and I see it now when I go to do keynote presentations and workshops, you see these young 15, 16-year-old girls carrying around Tinkerbell backpacks. So here they are in a body that they could go out clubbing in, but where their thinking is at, it's still at Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very confusing time because they're like, well, like this young girl, that diary entry, it's like, I'm not ready for that yet. And so what the mother can say is, that's okay, honey. You take your time. Just take as much time as you need for your thinking to catch up with your
right.
body.
Yes. And certainly I think that parents are very appropriate not to try to make kids, and often it's boys too, but particularly mm-hmm. girls, feel that they must enter all the circles of being a teenager
right.
that are being publicized by the media.
Yes.
Because those circles are not particularly healthy necessarily.
No, I would agree with you. I would agree with you. And that's an interesting point because I've been on, while promoting this book, I've been on about 20 or 30 radio shows in the last month and a half. And it is amazing how many times the topic comes up, Dr. Holstein, about how all these, you know, these young women in Hollywood and what unhealthy role models they are for the young girls coming up. And I think that's an interesting point, but we, at Listening with Heart, what we would say is that we need to educate and prepare our girls better because they have to recognize that in puberty, in this storm, that life starts to trip them up.
So
we're not preparing them.
Okay, so what you're actually saying is not only is it important, say, to encourage the strengths, talents, and passions of an 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old girl, so she actually has
yes.
a lot to do besides even going to school. She has hobbies, interests, maybe
yes.
she's playing an instrument,
mm-hmm.
she's in the Girl Scouts, she's doing volunteer work for her church. She has to be there every Sunday to help mm-hmm. make the lunch for the walk-ins, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, be very honest that the storm of puberty, is something all of us as women have faced and gone through, and
yes.
it's confusing. We're not going to just be simplistic, but, you know, some aspects of it you just kind of work your way through and you learn to handle, just as women handle the first year of marriage or the
mm-hmm.
first baby.
That's right.
And at the same time, really encouraging gals to keep their interests and even build new ones. For example, I know
yes.
a girl, a friend of mine has a daughter who's 16, and this girl either co-owns or owns a horse in a stable where she pays rent, and that takes about 3 hours of her day to care
mm-hmm.
for this horse.
Excellent. Excellent. And that's the more, and that's what we explain in that chapter. There's two points I'd like to make, to speak to, is number one, like you said, all women go through it. So mothers out there, it's very, very important that you realize that you are going to be the best signpost for your daughter during this time. Very important. I mean, the father, fantastic that they're there, but you have to remember, boys do not experience puberty. It's not as confusing as a time as it is for boys as it is for girls. Because
mm-hmm.
girls, I mean, you go from a Nancy Drew to a Nancy Drew who can give birth.
Right.
And that is a big responsibility that begins to enters a girl's thinking. It's like, wow, now I'm like mom. And so, and of course, that's where a lot of the conflict starts to come in too, because then a young girl starts to think, oh, well, you know, what does mom know? But at this exact time when your daughter might be pushing you away, that's when she needs you the most. And I see this all of the time at this critical time. When the daughter starts to reject and maybe carve her own path, the mother unfortunately starts to take this as a rejection and takes it personally, where really it's nothing personal at all. It's just the daughter starting to kind of go on her own way, but she still needs you around.
Absolutely.
Oh,
and I remember myself when my daughter suddenly, I guess in some storm, as you're talking about,
yes.
in the puberty years,
mm-hmm.
decided that I had never washed a dish. I didn't know how to put stuff into the dishwasher. You know, I was some total degenerate slob, you know. And
it.
She carried on. And her reasoning left, too. I would say, well, remember when I cleaned up last
yeah.
Saturday or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't even process it. You know, there was such a need to try to do away with me at that moment.
Yes.
And yet it was a period of time, as I remember, that she had some social issues that she needed our support, and we came down firm and clear, and later she thanked us.
Yes. Well, and that's just it, because, again, what we find is that, and you said she wasn't making any sense.
Mm-mm.
And this is the point we try to get across to mothers, because we have a lot of mothers who write to us, and I see them in my office, and I'll ask them how their day is going, and I mean, their hair's all over the place, they're looking disheveled, and they're like, oh, fine, I'm good. I had an argument with my teenage daughter this morning, but I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they come back the next meeting we have, and they're like, you know, she didn't even remember the fight in the morning. And I said, are you starting to understand? We call it the storm because common sense doesn't make sense. And they're thinking, I try to relate it to a Super Bowl. When I'm doing a keynote presentation, I have a Super Bowl, and there'll be all the mothers in the audience. They'll say, okay, if you want to try to predict what your teenage daughter is going to be thinking about next, try to predict where the Super Bowl is going to bounce next. It's a storm. There's winds. There's high winds. There's monsoons and tsunamis. I mean, you have to, and I'm sure you found this with your daughter, you pick the times when she's listening, and hopefully that point of common sense will get through. Otherwise, you can't take it personally. Or I said to one woman, I said, you're not going to need a hairdresser because you're going to be pulling your hair out for 10 years. And she finally got it.
Yeah. What got you so interested in all of this? Now, I don't know if you talked while I was running around the office, but what's the background?
Well, the main root of listening with Heart 360, it's from my co-author's story. And a lot of people ask us, and of course my co-author is a male, and they're like, Elizabeth, why is there a male involved in a new paradigm for women? I mean, what's going on? So I tell them a story about Andrew's mother. And what happened was when Andrew's mother was pregnant with him, she was advised to not go through with the pregnancy. And because the doctors were concerned about health complications to her. But she decided, no, she had this feeling that he was going to come into the world, and so she gave birth to him, and she died. Andrew's story is listening with Heart 360 is his way of giving back to his mom by helping girls and women. And mine, it's a little simpler. I was a high school teacher, coach, and counselor for 15 years, and I realized, in particular, these young girls, the ones that I taught in my last year, my 15th year of teaching, were still getting tripped up in the same areas as those that I taught in my first. So we need a shift of thinking. We need more discussion. We need to get some different angles of thinking out there for young girls so that this storm of puberty doesn't trip as many of us up as it is right now.
Oh, I think that's so beautifully said and so necessary. And what I find is that coming out of this whole storm period takes years of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very hard passage. And very often women still in their 20s are dealing with misperceptions of themselves or bad feelings. So many times during the storm period, there is, at the worst, something like a needless, all children are wonderful, but an unexpected pregnancy, the wrong time, the kid is 16, not 24.
That's right.
You know, and a more minor things, there can be terrible fights with boyfriends when nobody is ready to really be at that level of intimacy, and it can leave some very damaging scars.
Well, I mean, another point, I mean, along with this storm and common sense not making sense and the whole mother-daughter bond that unfortunately gets disrupted, there's also this confusion between physical attraction and love.
Yes.
And unfortunately, Dr. Holstein, I'm sure you see this all the time, love is a word that young girls, you know, they love animals and they love their horses and they love their clothes and they love Miley Cyrus. So love is a word they're familiar with. But unfortunately, there's been no feelings attached to it. Then, as soon as they see that beautiful-eyed blonde boy walking down the hall, boom, they have these warm, fuzzy physical feelings and they automatically attach it to love. Well, this is what everyone's talking about. But unfortunately, that's just physical. And of course, we know it takes us a long time to realize that love is a metaphysical thing. It's not a physical thing.
Love is complicated, I have to say.
We're
going to go, if Lillian will let us, a few more minutes. So I wanted to mention a couple of things because I really want to get to this area around crushes and thinking you're in love.
Yes.
I heard on the radio just today, public radio, that there is new information on research that those people who feel they instantly fall in love when they, you know, cross the crowded room kind of thing, and they actually end up as couples, they do very well. Their divorce rate is lower than people who take their time and get to know each other. Now, these are all people older than the kids in a storm.
Yes.
But
they were hypothesizing, the researchers, that maybe there is something extraordinary that happens to a certain percentage of people. But be that as it may, for most kids going through feeling in love, it is the stirring of, you know, physical feelings, yes. And usually nobody is equipped to get to know each other well enough to know what else is going on. And I want to say that in The Truth, I'm a Girl, I'm Smart, and I Know Everything, one of the major sub-themes that I put in is the girl has a crush.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she has it very young. She has it at 10. It carries mm-hmm. through the end of the book. And I intentionally did it because kids are very prone to crushes. And when I give workshops, women will remember down to the age of 5 a first crush.
Of course.
You know, yes, and they really, it knocked their socks off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one little girl had a crush around 5 or 6, except the boy sometimes would come to school with nail polish on. It kind of threw her.
Yeah.
You know. But
that could be what we call a red flag.
Yes. But, you know, so in this book, this little girl's so in love with Paul, and it lasts and it lasts, and her mother ignores it and thinks it's crazy and tells her she'll meet many boys, you know, and she starts to get taller than he is, and that creates its own issues. And when she finally dances with him at a school dance, she's like 4 inches taller, so she's looking across the room as she's dancing with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard burden. It's a terrible night for her, you know.
Yes.
But, tell me more, you know, what you teach around this whole subject, and let's just chat about it a little bit.
Well, what at Listening with Heart, what we try to do is give the girls an alternative. Because really, Dr. Holstein, when a girl has those warm, fuzzy feelings, what is the only option that she goes to? What do you think? She goes, it's got to be love.
Mm-hmm.
There
mm-hmm.
is no alternative that is being given to these young ladies in the storm. It's just, oh, when I'm attracted to this boy, it's love. So we just recently wrote an article for a teenage magazine, and it's called What is Love Anyway? And what we want to do is we want to try to make this point that maybe it's love, because just like that research was showing, I'm not saying that physical attraction isn't part of love. It most definitely is. But when you're young, and for most girls, when they see that boy or that boy that's really cute has the locker right beside them, that's the very first time they're experiencing it. So it's very unknown territory for them. But so since it's unknown, and what is the nature of the beast, well, we better label it right away. What's love?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So you help them understand? Do you actually talk candidly that these are sexually
oh, yes.
aroused feelings
yes.
that are wonderful but don't necessarily represent that the two of you are made, you know, suited for each other?
That's right. And of course, with the older girls, I mean, this isn't for the girls who are just entering the storm, but the girls mm-hmm. who are at college and university, we can make the point that this physical attraction, it is quite natural. But a lot of times, because your body is going through all of these changes, it wouldn't have mattered whether it was that blonde boy or that football player over
oh,
there.
Good point.
You would have had it for both of them.
Yeah, so yeah.
What do most women do? They give the credit to the guy instead of saying, oh, that's just my body acting naturally.
Oh, what an important, brilliant point. So you turn it to help them understand that it is their own arousal system at work, and it's
yes.
actually a very good sign that it's working.
That's
good.
It, isn't it? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Yes.
It's, and you know what? It seems as we go out more and more, and that's what we're talking about, the mothers. This chapter in our book that's called The Storm, this is going to give the mother some of these tools and some of these discussions that she can have with her daughter so that when she's coming home all, oh, my God, the love of my life, and I'm going to marry him, she can say, oh, okay, well, maybe, but maybe it's just this.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's a breakup, a month or 2 weeks down the road, then the girl isn't going to be all heavy on herself. She's going to say, oh, that was just physical attraction. Oh, well,
right.
That happens, and it's temporary.
Right.
Love is eternal.
Mm-hmm. And wait till I get those feelings again. I'll see who jumps into the universe that time. But
that's right.
You know, yeah, I like that. It's
mm-hmm.
and it's very good because I think boys are given actually just in a practical way, maybe because they have an external erection, which, you know, girls are
right.
dealing with other more subtle factors,
mm-hmm.
I think they're very often just told, you know, you've got a lot of stuff going into your system, and this is natural. It's going to happen a few times a week, whatever.
Yes.
And that really helps them.
And that's what this is all about. It's all about letting kids, and of course our angle is girls and women, but letting the girls and women know that these are all quite natural feelings, but it's coming from your body initially.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be giving all the credit to the guy.
Oh, I love that. And
so,
that is so central to my work as a positive psychologist, because women go around all the time.
Oh, don't we?
You know, I had one client, and she said to me, I wish when I got married, instead of saying, take me, I'm yours, I had been able to say, take me, I'm mine.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You
that's
know.
Excellent. And that's, you see, the bigger picture of why we're here, it's to get girls and women thinking in a better place, not only individually, but collectively, and our relationships with men. So many of us are getting tripped up that it's holding the female consciousness back.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why the work that you're doing with the teenage girls and the younger girls, it's so very, very important, because if we can get it into their thinking that, oh, there's an alternative here, maybe it's not love. And, of course, we explain to the older girls at college and university, hey, the 50 to 60% divorce rate is a reflection of that physical attraction not being love.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
love, if somebody loves you unconditionally, that will never end.
Right, right.
Right. But again, that's just a whole other story.
Yes, yes. Well, this has been really wonderful. I think we have, I'm thinking as we're talking, and I think we should try to write about it more on the web so it gets to people.
Yes.
I think our two books would be great companion books.
I think that you're probably right.
Because my stuff has the fictional entries that lend themselves to a lot of the topics you pick up and are discussing.
And by the way, I had a chance to read some of that over, and I think that it's just a great idea. I think with just having the young girl's thoughts there, and I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's
great.
Yeah, that's, I think so too. Kids seem to really resonate to have stuff put into words.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be exactly what that kid would have thought, but somehow it echoes the truth. And that's the important part. And it
yes,
sounds
it is.
Like your book, Living with Heart, is that the correct title?
Listening with Heart.
Listening with Heart, 360.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is giving mothers so much to work with, and they need that. So we're going to stop for today. Tell everyone again your information.
Certainly. Our book is Listening with Heart 360, The New Paradigm for Women. You can purchase it at any bookstore. If you would like an autographed copy, you can go to our website, listeningwithheart.com, and Andrew and I will sign it for you and send it to you directly.
Is it up on Amazon too?
It is. Yes, it's up on Amazon and all the bookstores' websites.
Okay. Because
mm-hmm.
We're going to do reviews for each other, and that'll
That's
be
right.
fun, and people will see us linked. So I love that.
Excellent.
So go to either Amazon or Elizabeth. And what is your website again?
Listeningwithheart.com.
Okay. Very easy. Same
yes.
title each time.
Uh huh.
And I want to thank everyone for listening to kids, tweens, and teens. We did focus on teens today.
And I'm Dr. Barbara Becker Holstein. I hope you too will pick up a copy of The Truth. I'm a girl, I'm smart, and I know everything. You can get it from me or any bookstore or Amazon. If you get it from Amazon, write me an email and I'll send you a little present. I'm trying to build my numbers. It's always fun to go up in the sort of the contest of Amazon of trying to get near the top as a book. So you just write to me at ENCSELF, that's ENCSELF@AOL.com, or you can write to me through my website, enchantedself.com, and it'll get to me, and I will send you a prize. Thank you, and goodbye for this time.
Thank you very much for listening to Dr. Barbara Becker Holstein and Kids, Tweens, and Teens and her guest, Elizabeth. And if you want to listen to both of them all over again, please go to http://internetvoicesradio.com. On the left-hand side of the page, you'll see the word archives. Click on that. A list of names appear, Barbara's among them. If you would like the download of the MP3 stream, go check on the lower right-hand side where you see VIP. Click on that. Sign up as a free member. And for $2.60, you can download the MP3 stream into your portable player. If you wish a transcript, contact Lillian Caldwell at 734-332-5902 or email her at lillian.caldwell@gmail.com and tell her which hard copy you want of whatever program. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard. PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And T.H. Huxley said in 1877, if a little knowledge is dangerous, where is the man who has so much as to be out of danger? Thank you very much for listening. Our next scheduled program begins at 8 o'clock tonight with Marketing for Fun and Profit with Janet Elaine Smith, followed by The Screaming Woman with Tony Quest, and wrapping up the evening, Tom Zort and Tom Zort Poetry Show. So thank you very much. Have a great evening. See you tomorrow. See you later. Thank you very much. And remember, keep listening.